Espérate un poco, tengo miedo, solo.
Ah, sí,
Mira,
ya,
hay
ya
voz.
escuché bien. Ya. Click on there, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think? So this period of time is a period for Dharma inquiry. I'll take a couple of minutes to give the general outline of the time. There, it is an invitation to anyone who's participating in the retreat to come and take a seat. With the good staff, our guardian angels, we meet with the staff on the daily basis and one-to-ones. So this is an opportunity for those here who perhaps haven't had an opportunity to come to speak one of us because of the numbers and much else, and you're very welcome to come and take the seat here. With the period of time, a person may have some areas of interest or questions or concerns. These may arise from your meditations, from the meditation instructions, from talks, just from the day, from experiences, sometimes beautiful and insightful, and sometimes challenging and difficult. And in coming to take the seat here, some dialogue gets underway. The dialogue may be just question and answers going back and forth, and as you see with the one-to-ones and other times as well, asking questions to the person or the person to me. It is not intended with the inquiry that we reach some healthy, happy, smiley, satisfactory, wonderful conclusion. It's not my interest. But so sometimes in the dialogue it changes, sometimes it comes to fullness and the natural completion, which is lovely, and sometimes it might close at a difficult point as well, and quite often, in fact quite regularly, that it may well be afterwards for the one who, with the inquiry, that day, that night, 10 years later, some benefit may come from it. And if it's in this very lifetime, be happy. And with the inquiry, the listening aspect obviously is very, very important. And as I mentioned and have been mentioning to people for 30 years, and it's said every single time and it's forgotten every single time, total listening. The total listening event is both to the outer and also to the inner. And in that fullness of listening to the outer, we also equally give importance, what's our response as we listen? And sometimes there is listening with love and appreciation and connectedness. Sometimes there is listening with questions and doubts, what is all this about? And sometimes there is listening with irritation and agitation, etc. What goes on in the meditation hall with listening is also probably going on in the daily life as well. So it is part of our practice here of two people having an exchange, your kind presence, your willingness to listen outwardly and inwardly is a real genuine support for us all. The person or myself at any time can say thank you to bring the inquiry to a close. And that option for the closure rests equally with the participant and Christopher. After the closure, there'll be a minute or two of silence together. And then after that, I'll say anyone, and then another person may wish to come. It is important for me, and I'm sure you would agree, that there is certainly a gender balance there, because sometimes it's all one gender or the other. So that varies a lot. So if one gender, so we say, comes, then in this evening we'll make space and for the person from the other gender to come. The inquiry time may last for 5 or 10 minutes. It may last half an hour. I think the longest ever went on for about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And the theme of that was sex. Surprise, surprise. And but many other issues also arise. And with the exploration here, to really keep it to the days, to the practice, to your concerns here and now. The teachers will speak to you on the final morning, just with regard to the transitions into the daily life. So the inquiry is really kept rather strictly to what's happening for you here, not elsewhere in the daily life. There. So that covers the points. And at any time, anyone may wish to come. You will see here the two recorders, one of Tovana and the other in my hand. I will check with you that it's okay if we record it, with the usual health warning that there are approximately 7.5 billion people on this earth. It's unlikely that they all will want to listen to it, but there might be just one or two people that you know. So if you prefer not to record it, I'll just switch here and switch here, and it gets switched, gets switched off. So that's the thing. There. So anyone like to share about the day's experience, concerns or questions, or whatever, with regard relationship to your time on the retreat, then please come and take a seat. No, thank you. No, thank you. It reminds me of Guantanamo Bay. So, not that I've had the privilege of visiting, anyway. But I do know others. So anyone would like to come and take a seat, you're very welcome. Yes, please come, you will. So, with regard to the recording?
It's okay.
I miss that.
I think it's okay.
You think it's okay? Okay. And as much as possible, people very kindly come forward. It's much appreciated. Sometimes, if it's possible, we can keep our voice so that the good people in the back line can hear us. And if it's a little hard to raise the voice, as it can be for some people, then do please, just any time you wish, there's some cushions and here, and just do feel free to sit closer to us. It's no problem. Yes, sir. Yes, what would you like to speak about?
I need to speak about something. Sorry, I barely hear you from the back.
All right.
This question, and I will answer.
So
I the respect I can.
So, what I mentioned earlier, that if during the days here there have been any experiences, anything which you have listened to during the talks, the instructions, the guided meditations, the evening program, anything which has been difficult or joyful or insightful for you, anything which stands out and you like to speak about it, please do. I'm sorry you didn't hear what I said earlier. You may not have anything on the mind, just say thank you. Oh, finish.
I need to speak about everything, or
I'm sorry.
I need to explain about everything, or you will help me.
That's my job.
Okay. I think one of the it was the early steps. One of the first conversation.
Yes.
When you talked about the perception about the
perception yeah.
And the body and the
yeah.
And I think what arose in my mind, it's how to come from the understanding of okay, well, there is something the consumption in what you see, and how do you explain it into day-to-day life.
So a little bit of what I said earlier on, that this evening we're only speaking about here and now, that means these days. And I also said there that it is not about the daily life, because the teachers will speak to you.
Mm.
So I think it's going to be a thank you here. Thank you. So it's the other gender, next person. We'll have a quiet minute or two, please. Is my voice so low? Surely not. Anyway. So anyone from amongst the women sitting here is very, very welcome to come and take a seat, who's actually sitting the retreat. the back. I mean, if you prefer, you can. Okay, with the recording.
It's okay.
All right. And just move as much as you need. You know, back comes takes priority.
During my time here.
Yes.
I was participating in several retreats last month, and rarely, but very specially and like very bullet.
Outstanding.
Yeah, outstanding.
Outstanding.
There
yes.
were a few moments in the meditations, in the meditation that were. Well, I can describe them only in saying they are indescribable, but very different and very concrete.
Yes,
I mean not concrete, but
And appreciate. Would you like to? It's not easy. Attempt to use words to describe the indescribable. What might come to mind for you in these moments? They are precious. We are curious.
I can try. Yeah. I already tried because I'm following them for the last few weeks.
All right.
So, one happened in another retreat. There were a few moments that meditation got even a bit scary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like you're touching something out of the world we are used to.
Yes.
And then I was, and then I already, I was already injured, so I was lying, and it was a choiceless awareness meditation.
Yeah.
So I was like for a moment. Touches it or it touches me and then I'm like out of space, maybe falling asleep or I don't know what's going on. And that also was a bit scary but also very interesting. Like I was curious to go back into the And then for some time it didn't happen again. And today I had like moments.
Yes.
And it was like wow, very exciting.
Horizontal posture again?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
how would you describe the experience today? You're lying in the horizontal posture. What was the exciting factor or element for you?
I think it was after Asaf's instruction of the day. So he was speaking about mental.
Can you hear? After Asaf's instructions, he was speaking about mental.
Like states?
Yeah, mental states, yeah.
And it felt like a touch of freedom, like the taste of freedom.
Mm. Oh,
but it's just like it's coming and it's going.
Yeah. sure. So, in. What would you say, would you say anything common that there, in these weeks of pretty well consecutive retreats, because we spoke, that you've been engaged in, several of them over the past week, and there is the remembrance, the recollection of the earlier experience of something kind of bigger but a bit scary, as you mentioned. And then today's experience of what's called choiceless awareness, meaning meditation without having a particular object, not choosing anything, the breath or whatever there, and some sense of freedom there. Would you make any link, if there is one, between the two experiences?
I would say something like a manner of description of these moments are they are very different than everything else.
Right.
Like the way that I experience life usually, so it's different.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but it's different.
Yeah.
So maybe when you're not focusing on
mm-hmm.
anything specific, then these different things can come.
When we're not focusing on anything particular,
yeah,
yeah, these experiences can come.
Maybe.
What on earth would we be teaching meditation and focusing on particular experiences if they blocked these experiences? Eh?
Maybe they are.
Eh? Shoot us, please. You know.
No, maybe they contributes.
All right. Thank you.
A lot, for sure.
Nothing on this earth can stop these experiences coming through. Nothing, and certainly not a meditation object. So what I mean by that is that in the good practice and the lovely commitment that you've had over several weeks now, the relationship of the calm and the clarity and the nice brightness in the eye, in your eyes and in the voice there, it does generate. And then there are some moments, maybe shorter or longer, with out of the process, something kind of stands out of it. And it's exactly as you said, which is different from the norm, you know, different from the relative, different from what we are familiar with, even with our meditations there. You're absolutely there with that. And something triggers and opens up something, because it's an unknown, or hasn't occurred for some time previously, might well, one might begin to feel a little bit afraid. What's going on here? A little bit of fear may arise, like you said with the first.
That was in the first time, but now it becomes,
yeah.
I became eager to
exactly.
get this experience, so I'm
right.
trying to calculate. What was the circumstances that brought me there before, so I can have it again?
Be careful. Be careful. The very wanting to repeat could slow up the receptivity. You know, the memory acts as the image. Oh, I had this. Oh, if I get my body in the same posture, in the same place, at the same time, in the same moment, there, with Asaf giving exactly the same instructions, I might get some, whatever. Organic life doesn't work so sweetly. So there is the receptivity, and sometimes, as you say, probably the trust and the confidence got established there, so there isn't some nothing to be afraid of today,
mm-hmm.
you know, that which is lovely to hear. Say a little bit, even if it's just a few seconds, a little bit, if you can, about this sense of freedom which arose for a short period. Say a few words about that, that's important. It's not easy.
That's the thing, that it's indescribable. Like, my question was, what is it? Actually,
I can respond, but I'm more interested in your response, as you can tell. What is it when suddenly some might be short-lived sense of freedom, teachings are pointing to this? You know, that's the direction there, and sometimes there's the short-lived sweet taste.
Mm.
What is this freedom which, in so many fields, it's spoken about sometimes foolishly, but human beings have an interest in this.
I'm very, very curious about that. I mean, that's how it makes me feel, curious to, check it out more.
Yes,
but
good.
But I can say some things about it, but I'm not sure it's the authentic experience.
Then don't say it.
It may be just words, you know.
It's close with the day. It's just a few hours ago. So, as much as possible with these things, it's the power of directing the mindfulness to that, sharing with us. But you're kind of speaking with that experience in mind. Understand? You can easily get into a kind of theoretical abstract, which won't help any of us. But I think more importantly is the moments. The Buddha's lovely one-line metaphor is to squeeze the honey out. That's what I'm hoping you will do.
I really don't know what to say about today. Like, I can tell you what were the circumstances and what was my reaction, but
All right. Well, following on, there's experience, taste of something out of the norms and the conventions of day-to-day life and even day-to-day meditation. After that, how's the rest of the day? What's your description of following on?
I was happy.
Good. Nice to hear. And the very fact of getting up off the... Your back still doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The very fact of and willingness to get up and take a seat and talk very specifically also shows there's some quite noticeable response to it.
Yeah.
It's affected you.
I
it's touched you. You're sitting here.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, keeping the trust in that, and as I mentioned, many ways for the taste of freedom there. Expressed a couple of ones, very important there. And it is that receptivity. Quite often the taste of it comes a little bit unexpectedly. We can't organize it or control it, we can't make it happen at a certain time. That allowance there, and then to see what the flow on is. And part of that flow on is we are talking together.
Yeah, but we do work hard to...
plenty of hard work. But sometimes some people will say it's a piece of cake meditation, and it doesn't feel like that. Feels neither hard nor work, you know. And some, fair enough, it feels like hard work. It really does vary a lot, even in this hall here.
In a way, it feels like a sign maybe that things are working.
Yeah, that's it. Let's finish on that point. It is a clear sign things are working. Nice one. All right,
thank you.
Okay. So we'll have a quiet moment or two together, and then I'll say anyone. Yes, anyone at any time. With the recording?
It's okay.
All right.
translation not very good.
So, dear Asaf, his Hebrew is excellent, as well as his English. So, will you, Asaf,
yes,
if he
yes.
needs, thank you.
Okay.
All right, yes, sir.
During the meditation, I have a lot of thoughts, intellectual thoughts.
Intellectual thoughts?
Yes.
Mm.
About the experience, and I need to tell my friend.
You need to tell your friend.
Yes.
You might lose them. All right, so actually, to be serious for a moment or two, there are the experiences taking place there. What's the difference? What would you say is the difference between a helpful, useful reflection and a lot of intellectualizations? What would tell you the difference? The both can be thought. What's the difference between the two for you?
Just that sounds.
Yeah, no thoughts.
Thoughts
that continue for long.
Pardon?
Thoughts that continue for long.
So, it's a good point. So, sometimes we have some experiences in this world of experience called the retreat, and then we have some thoughts about it. It might be an experience about our relationship to the day or what is happening to us. And as we were just listening a few moments ago, experience and some reflection on it. And then there can be quite a lot of thinking going on inside. The experience begins to fade away there. Is there anything inside of you which will tell you, inform you, oh my goodness, I'm thinking too much, it is becoming more theoretical or more abstract or more intellectual? Is there any signal inside that I'm going from a helpful acknowledgement of the experience and perhaps some learning out of it to theory and ideas? Any point where you know it's going on too long, this thinking about?
קודם כל זה מלווה אותי כבר המון זמן לדבר הזה, כבר שנתיים, שלוש.
I have it for already 2 years.
Two years?
That I'm experiencing these.
Wait, I'm curious. What have you been thinking about for 2 years? If I may ask, you don't have to say, you know, it's entirely your, you know, but,
עסקתי תקופה ארוכה ככה בלימודים אינטלקטואליים של ודנטה ככה ושל בודיזם וזה, וככה כל הזמן היה לי צורך לנסות להמשיג כל הזמן את החוויה, כל הזמן צורך לנסח אותה בדיוק כמו שצריך ולזהות פרדוקסים ולנסות לתפוס.
So I spent some time learning on Vedanta and Buddhism.
All right.
And I had this need of explaining intellectually
yes.
Experiences.
Yeah, all right, okay, all right.
זה רק, אני אוסיף, כאילו, אני גם יודע אינטלקטואלית שזה לא קשור להוויה שאנחנו מחפשים במדיטציה, אבל אני לא מצליח להשתחרר.
I also know intellectually
yes.
that it's disconnected from experience.
All right.
And that I can't just get away from it.
Yeah, all right, okay. So, if I may say here, for some people, not the only one in the hall here, who sometimes the interest in the initial period, say, let's say 2 years, is there is a sense that in the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, there's the teachings of Vedanta. Vedanta means the fulfillment, the completion of that, which places a lot of emphasis as well on reflection, insight, and using the good resources of the texts. And of course, Vedanta teaches, you know, kind of sister tradition, we might say. And then there can be quite a few people, East and West here, feeling, though the mind is learning a lot, but it's still in the world of the mind. It's still in the world of the thought. You know, reading about and some learning going on is beneficial, but it's in the world of the kind of conceptual understanding, you could say. And then we begin to feel the restraint and the limit of it. And quite often, from the reading, there's the wish, it's a great wish in life, to say, well, what's the actual experience of? What is it to sit on the floor, let us say, cross-legged, and really face my existence? Really, what is this human being about? What's going on with this human being? What is this human being's relationship with, as a social being, or with the nature? What's going on? And that experience of that is a real meeting with oneself. Everything stripped away, the roles, the identities there. A little bit, there could be a habit easily established with us of interpretation, analysis, thinking about, which has echoes of 2 years of reading. What's going to cure this habit?
I just want to clarify that it's not 2 years of reading, it's 2 years of thinking about reading.
I appreciate your honesty. All right, what's going to cure 2 years of thinking about it? There are quite a lot of these Buddhologists, I call them. Buddhologists.
Buddhologim.
Do you want to be a Buddhologist? Everything's known in this small little composition up here, rather than the whole. It can happen. But back to the point is, what would contribute so that rather than running into the thinking, you have your experience, you have some thought about, which really genuinely is important and genuinely can be helpful with it, and help to keep the thinking and the experience fairly close together, so you're not moving too far away from it. What might help? All smiles, but.
אני יכול להגיד שהרבה פעמים מה שגורם לי לחזור לנשימה זה האבסורד, כאילו שאני חושב על כמה זה מדהים לחשוב על הנשימה, להסתכל על הנשימה.
I can say that what many times brings me back to breathing is the absurd of me noticing that I'm thinking how wonderful it is to be in touch with breathing, but without being in touch. So it reminds me to come back.
And that, what should we call it, ironic phenomena. How wonderful it is to be breathing. Let me keep thinking about how wonderful it is. So some reconnection to live and to breathe, some reflection there is the appreciation. And sometimes, as you said very early on, the thought may arise, and I just give me a really genuinely beautiful thought. I wish to share this with my friends. It's rather important that your beloved friends have some interest. They've been in any kind of workshop, retreats, courses, programs, mindfulness, and so it probably would be more interest. But it may be so far out of their world, they would wonder, what on earth are you talking about?
להם. אם העולם שלהם מרוחק מהדבר הזה, אני יכול לעשות מה לך לרוחות, אתה מדבר עליו.
So it is sharing, but also the sense that there is interest.
Yes.
They
have interest.
They have interest.
Yes. It's a lot. Many times it's argue, yes.
And these are your friends. All right. Could it be that you could possibly have a little reflection while here to see if there's still the heart's wish to share without it going so much into thought it doesn't become an argument? Understand? Can you have some reflection here to have the opportunity to share with another without a wish to argue the point?
Understand, yes.
All right, good. All right, thank you. Thank you. So again, a quiet minute and alternating with the gender. Thank you. Yes, anyone at any time. Yes, please come. With the recording?
It's okay.
Right.
I also feel nervous with my English.
She
so
said she also feels nervous with her English. So, beloved, Asaf is nearby if you wish to use both languages.
I've got three questions, but maybe we won't have time for all three of them.
Your voice, if you don't mind, may need to be a little higher.
I have three questions, but maybe we won't have time for all three of them.
Okay, we'll see.
So I will ask the first one.
Yeah, please do, yes.
But suddenly, maybe it's about the daily life, so if it's not, so tell me.
I won't hesitate.
Okay. it's about activism.
Activism, go on.
I'm an activist in my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my teachers, the mainly teacher, he said that he's not going to demonstrations anymore.
No.
Because it can make conflict for the other side that we demonstrate against, or not against, but it can make people the other side angry, or even make. it's difficult for me in English,
yeah,
but I think you understood.
Yeah, yes.
And when I'm going to demonstrations, I'm doing many kinds of activities, but when I'm going to demonstrations, I'm thinking about this act.
Mm.
And is it really a good thing, a benefit thing, and because I know both sides have influence about on the specific act.
Right. So I think it's a genuinely caring and thoughtful question. So, just being in the days here with the meditations and all that takes place, and sometimes it may be with regard to myself or others, something of the larger situations can be referred to. I'm curious, naturally enough, what kind of campaigns or demonstrations do you support? What might be a typical situation where you say, I need to join those people out on the street? What are some of the ones possibly in recent months or year or two?
I'm working with refugees, and I'm doing theater with refugees as well. And this one, the theater is a great thing in my opinion, but
me too.
I do go to
demonstrations
as well.
Yeah.
And also I'm working with Jewish and Palestinians, we're doing theater work as well.
Mm.
And I also go to demonstrations, for example, in Kavisha Minarot, it's a place near the wall.
Yeah.
And when we're going there, many cars are passing by, and when they see the demonstration, they really get mad.
Yes.
And angry, and they can say really nasty things. And I don't think if we weren't there, they probably wouldn't think about it at all. And they probably wouldn't become so hateful. And
so, the teacher he or she?
He.
Has said to you, he doesn't want to go any more demonstrations because of that kind of being for and being against.
He didn't say it to me. He said it to the sangha.
To the sangha.
Yeah, and I never talked with him about it.
No. Togena sangha.
No. No. But it's
good.
Quite.
Go on, sorry.
No, he's a good teacher.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. No. We're not questioning that. We're just asking for you.
So this is what's arising
for you. So what? Just say, tell me, or remind me, if you don't mind. What was the message you got from the teacher?
He said exactly what he said. I think that he's not going to demonstrations anymore.
Yeah.
Because he feels it.
It invokes conflict.
All right, it invokes conflict. All right.
Yeah.
So you.
That's what I understood from
him. Yeah. I would never assume that the quote is the reality of what was said, but it is a voice which is said. I mean, I hear the voice, of course, regularly enough from people. My concern is your relationship to authority.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when you heard that, was the response from you, oh, my teacher or my main teacher said this, it does sound right, it could evoke conflict. Has that affected your engagement with demonstrations, support for the refugees, Palestinian Israeli dialogue, theatre or creativity? Has those words touched on you?
No, it did. When I'm going to demonstrations now, I'm thinking about it, and I just see the other side as well.
Yes.
And what I said about the people that passing with the cars, I didn't thought about it like this.
Mm. Yes.
So it did influence me.
Yeah.
But I am going and
good spirit.
Do
all right.
Activism.
Well, one listens to oneself in these matters. One hears the thoughtful, caring voice of the other, in this case, called the teacher. And in that hearing of the inner voice, what is keeping that voice of action alive for you? I'm still going. That's the action. I'm still going. Despite the concern of the other, of others, not just the teacher here, and you are noticing, well, I'm in a demonstration near the wall there, the cars are passing by, they're getting angry, they're hooting, they're driving close, all these things that they might do. And one might think, my gosh, if I wasn't there, or we weren't there, they wouldn't do that. And then out of that could come, oh, I better not go. I'm causing anger. Would you have that view?
I have many thoughts about it.
Good.
the
important thoughts.
I think they have one of the thoughts is that they have anger inside them anyway.
Right.
Just it doesn't appear all in the daily life, but when I'm coming there, it just comes up.
Yes.
And I'm just a mirror for them.
Mm.
And another thought is about the fact that I don't feel there isn't a lot of hope in Israel, in the Palestinian situation, the refugees, depends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I want to support the side that need hope.
Yes.
And
right.
And also I think maybe it's not the right way. Maybe I need to do other things, or maybe I need to change my point of view when I'm going there to see if my point of view is a clear one.
Right.
But I can't influence all the demonstration.
No. Right.
I can influence only myself and maybe my relatives.
Yeah. Yeah. If I may, to put it another way, for some people, particularly in these kind of environments, as I said earlier on, a real encouragement to people to really watch whatever responses are going on inside as they listen to the two of us. And sometimes when the world of activism is mentioned, or politics, or conflict, or whatever, people's tensions start to grow. I just said that sometimes in the openness of the forum of discussion, it can be, and it happens regularly enough worldwide, that when people touch upon unresolved issues of conflict between the nation states or between communities or whatever it might be, there are some people sitting in the group here, maybe, who will think, I haven't come here to listen to this. I've just come here to reduce my stress, to learn about meditation and mindfulness, and it's not easy just to listen and say, okay, this is what the communication is at this moment, and be as focused and as calm and as clear about it as being with the breath or watching the body or just listening to the sounds. It is a challenge for people to, for some, to really listen to and say, we have the right to speak on this, because the care and the concern is there. And that's why I don't say thank you yet. if I may just say before we conclude, I think keeping the voice alive is important. I do feel I cannot take responsibility for the anger of other people there. I do think that anger, as you point out, is within people, within some people. It may express itself on the street, but also, sadly, it will express itself in domestic violence, in shouting and abuse of other drivers on the street, demonstrators, or whoever it might be. But we also do need calm, caring women and men to find creative ways to share our concerns in which there's no wish for any kind of violence. And I think the arts have an incredibly important part to play in all of this. I really think it's one of the ways, there, and theatre, poetry, music and dance is very, very important. I have friends who go to the Freedom Theatre in Jenin, working there, giving support to the Palestinian community there, using the arts. And it's not easy, but it's kind of knowing there's no wish to create conflict, there's the wish to resolve it, but sometimes this happens around us. And I feel, at least for me, as a person who engages in demonstrations and organises them, that I feel I would be giving in to the angry people if I stopped. I feel they have now taken control of the streets, and I can't do it. But it needs a lot of sharing, and I really appreciate everything you said. Any more words?
Can I ask another question?
Oh yeah, right, of course, there were three.
No, I will ask one more.
Go on, one more. You can ask two more. We got nothing else to do here. it's some breathing space from all this noble silence.
I had a few days ago when we started to connect to the nature.
Yes. Mm.
And the nature and the meditation made me very inspired.
Mm.
And I just like a muse came.
Muse.
Muse. Musa.
Muse.
Yeah, 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 gotcha.
You say
yeah, yeah,
in
here.
British, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe understand. And today I felt like in one of the meditations, or even two of them, I don't remember, I just couldn't stop it. I just couldn't stop the ideas, and each break I came and thought, wrote it down, and I at the beginning I said to myself, okay, go back to the breathing, go back to the being here, being with the body.
Yes.
And then I said, okay, I don't feel ishtokekut.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a wrong thing. I think it benefits, and it's good for me. So I'm going with it. I know it's not meditation, but I feel like my mind is free. and the other end, I thought.
Yeah, you do good. Carry on, carry on. I'll go and sit on the floor in a minute and listen to you. It's beautiful. Carry on, it's beautiful.
I do have some voices that maybe it's a waste of time, because I am here, and I don't have time in at home to just take, and I do have time, but not so much. But I think the creativity won this battle, and I wondered if it's.
Go on.
Is it right?
only 110%, I'm afraid. But I'm interested. You go out into the nature, you know, there's teachers have been outside, we have been, that is, the group, etc. What, I'm curious, what took place when you're outside, and sky above, trees, nature, flowers, air, and you're engaged in the meditation, and then there was a movement away from that, and then some other reflections and thoughts and concerns arose. Could you say specifically what they were? What was going on with you and your freedom to explore this?
I'm not sure I understood, so let's
all right.
I'm not sure I understood.
All right, say again. You mentioned, as I heard, that you're outside in the nature, doing the practice, doing the meditations, etc. And then at some point or points in it, you began to have some reflection. Was it about the environment or something else there? And my question is, what specifically, what were the thoughts?
What the thought that made me feel creativity?
Or the creativity.
Oh.
Yeah, what were you feeling creative about? What was the what was the content of your creativity?
I really like the wind, and I just saw the wind with the trees.
Hmm.
And there are so many trees and so many leaves.
Yes.
And the trees, the wind is when it touched the trees, each tree react differently.
Yes, beautiful.
And also my dress,
mm-hmm.
React differently because it's another material.
Mm.
And the leaves on the floor, they also react differently. And the shadows also have their own way. So it touched me.
Yes. I would call that a beautiful meditation. There's the event. The trees sway with the wind. The leaves around, the leaves blow. The dress blows. There's there's the movement in a whole variety of different ways. What's the symbolic significance of this for you? There's the event, but what's it? But in what ways is the wind and the trees speaking to you? What are they telling you?
Like materials.
You really like materials?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
And there are two parts. I will try to answer.
Mm-hmm.
I had a retreat in nature with Stephen in Clear.
Is it Stephen Fonda?
Yeah.
In Clear in the north. Mm-hmm.
And I understood in the during the retreat that like the nature is so different.
Mm.
Me inside
mm-hmm.
I as well, and the wind when it touch different materials, it makes me see it again.
Yes.
Because when the wind touches something, it's influenced differently, and it's like when I meet something,
yes,
everything changes.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. So there's the awareness and the sensitivities here. It also gives a lovely reminder of. With Stephen and Clil there, and the multiple variety of expressions which are taking place, manifesting through the materials of life, the wind and the trees and the flowers and the birds and the leaves and much, much more. In a way, amongst the many ways that the symbolic, it's a reminder to us, or to me anyway, of the sheer diversity. And the wind is blowing through the trees, but just how much is moved and shaped and expressing itself in countless numbers of ways. And just in conclusion, in all the explorations that are taking place, trees, who are kind of big social plants, they like to be around each other, they prefer the community of the trees. And they also found that trees prefer diversity, even amongst themselves. The diversity of the trees actually gives support to the trees and the fungi, which gives great support to the trees, and the trees give support to the fungi. And perhaps what you just said is a reminder to all of us how diversity actually gives support to us all and doesn't threaten us. Third question?
Yeah.
Done.
Thank you
very much. Lovely to listen to you. Thank you. I'll just have our quiet minutes and I'll just give a little reflection. quite often in the incidental, ordinary, modest events and experiences of daily life, which we take for granted and hardly take any real notice of. And it's in the most ordinary little things. The woman is lying there stretched out, in quiet meditations, and there's some moments of something happening inside there which expands beyond something rather small. There's a sense in the being of something significant about it. A person spends some time outdoors. We feel the breeze and the trees and then something else happens there. And though it is a movement away, as was said, from the formal meditation there, but it's a different kind of meditation. And it evokes something else. There can be a situation as well where the view of something there, we're under pressure. Somebody is aggressive or hostile to us. They profoundly disagree with our concerns, whatever that might be about. In this case, demonstrations, it's just one expression, but countless situations. And then we have to check in, as we are doing here, and we listen to ourselves. And though it's only a small situation, group of people, oneself and the other, there. But we have to listen deeply. Sometimes as human beings, we'll find reasons and explanations why not to do something. Why not to speak up? Why not to act? Why not to be creative or whatever? And the oppression that can come from the other can silence us. It can close us down. And then we lose the potential and the opportunity to be imaginative and creative and thoughtful and active human beings. And really, it's the death of our spirituality if we close down. And we may say, oh, I don't want to increase conflict, but the outcome may be the louder, more aggressive voices will take more control over our lives, because we have stopped speaking. Our small voice has gone quiet. And in the moments, the touch of the experience and that's appreciation for the freedom of the moment, the sense of the interconnectedness of trees and plants and humans and materials, there, all of that reminds us of something really deep and precious with human life. I mean, and it's our task and undertaking to stay true to it. And if it means that we wish to speak to our friends, then we try to be skillful about that, or to our family, or to our neighbours, or whatever. We are keenly interested in the freedom of experience, but we're also equally interested in the freedom of the voice. And as one of our beloved poets, Dylan Thomas, reminds us, let's not go quietly into the night. Keep our good voice alive. And a very big thank you to those who came up to speak, share. Your good voice is a reminder to all of us. Thank you. Let's have the quiet final minute together, shall we, please? beings know the freedom to experience. May all beings know the freedom to express the wise voice. May all beings know the freedom to respond to difficult situations. So the where are we? My golly. 3 minutes past 9 o'clock. You could be grateful you're not in the monastery. Some of these discussions on these things would go on well into the night. You'd be nodding away and then half hour later come back. So if the beloved bell ringer would kindly give the bell a ring for us in 10 minutes' time. So you can stretch the legs, etc. there. And then we'll meet in here at around 9:15 there. And then the period of time, 15 minutes of silent meditation through until 9:30. Hot drink, and horizontal. Good. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.